Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a new year, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the Lord's leading and guiding. I'm excited about what the Lord has for us. Our theme for the year is choose the high road. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies positionally already. So in a practical sense, we ought to seek him every day of our life. And the choice of the high road isn't choosing between what is good and what is bad. No, no. The choice is choosing between what is good and what is the best. God has the best for us. He wants the best for us, and we should desire that in our everyday life. This is the time of year where many people make their New Year's resolutions. And oftentimes we set our goals far too high. And at the end of the year or the new year, we recognize we didn't attain most of them. I like what someone said about New Year's resolutions. I considered giving up all of my bad habits in 2020, but nobody likes a quitter. That's kind of my mindset on that. And so the thought process for us is this, is not New Year's resolutions. It's allowing the Lord to work in and through us and really to have spiritual growth and not try to seek to have growth in a spiritual sense, promoted by our flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to speak on the thought process of the Christian life is always brand new. Now, as you're turning there, let me just say this. I was really encouraged by a thought this week of this boy that was on the seaside chucking starfish into the ocean. You might have heard of this, but it blessed me. He's chucking starfish into the ocean. The sun is coming up, and it's going to fry all the starfish. And there's an older gentleman walking on the beach, and the older gentleman says to the little boy, he says, you're never going to reach all of them. But the little boy picked up a starfish and said, I'm going to make a difference in the life of this one. And you know, the thought process for me is this. You know, in the early days of ministry as a younger man, my heart's desire was to save everybody, save every marriage, help every Christian, help everybody grow and just reach the potential that God wanted for them. And you know what, folks, it's an impossibility. But you know what we can do is we can make a difference in the life of people. You can make the difference in the life of one. And really the thought process for us is just that. Let's make the difference in the life of somebody. And we all can do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to begin our reading in verse 14 this morning in the Word of God. The Word of God says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The fact of the matter is that every single person who is born into this world is dead in trespasses and sins. I had the privilege of talking to my son Jude this week, and he professed faith in Christ, and that wasn't an easy thing. That process has been working for quite some time. The first question I asked my boy, I said, are you a sinner? He says, no, I'm not. And it's heartbreaking for me because I had to look at my boy and I said, you're a sinner because your dad's a sinner. And that's the truth. Adam was the first. And death is passed down. You know, leading children to the Lord, I look at my son and I said, you're a sinner because your dad is one. And that's what he's getting at in verse 14. Verse 15, it says this, and that he, speaking of Jesus, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Think about that. Christ died in our place. He died for us. He purchased us. The word is ransomed. So because he paid that price for our redemption, why would we want to go on living for ourselves? No, now we live for him who died for us. And that's what Paul's trying to get across here. He says in verse 16, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. In other words, now that we are saved people, he's writing this church at Corinth saying, why do we boast in the flesh? You know, Matt, you know the thing I love about you, Mountaine, is you love the Lord. You know, Carl, you know, guys, we miss stuff in the church here. Carl's an engineer. You know, I've got education. It takes a lot. The fact of the matter is I don't love the fact that what you've accomplished. I love the fact that you love the Lord. Daniel, I don't love the fact that, hey, you're trying to be a construction guy, have a business. It's that you know the Lord. It's not promoting the flesh. It's thinking there, sitting there thinking, we don't need to glory in those things. I glory in the fact that God is using my brothers and my sisters to do great things for him. And he's given everybody a platform from which to do that. So we glory in the fact that as we gather here today, we know the Lord and we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 17, therefore, because of these things, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. What a marvel. We're separated from him. And because of Jesus Christ, we're reconnected to God. So what does he tell us here? He goes on to say in verse 18, he says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes we feel that we're not recognized in church, or other people have spiritual gifts vastly superior to us. Oh, we all have a ministry. Did you know that? We all have a part in something. He's given all of us the ministry of reconciliation, where we can help people be reconciled to Almighty God. Verse 20, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As I stand before you this day, there is excitement in my heart, because we have the message for Cold Lake. We have the message for Alberta. We have the message for Canada and for the whole world. It is Jesus Christ died for sinners. And there is an opportunity for people to be reconciled unto God. And I've been praying that people would come forth in salvation, as you've been praying for that, and only God can save. We have to respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God, yield to him, and move forward in that. The thought process I want to focus on here is verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Christian life is always brand new. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help now. I pray for clarity of thought and mind. I pray your word would go forth as you designed for it to be, Lord. I want to be completely controlled by you. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to every single one of our hearts. Lord, and I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's nothing like brand new. I had the privilege of driving Brother Buckle's GMC, whatever that nine-seater thing is called, I have no clue. And it was like a rocket ship, for crying out loud. I got behind that thing, ding, here's the weather report. It's icy over here. It looked like it was a rocket ship, and I felt like I was a pilot about to fly an airplane. I didn't want to know the cost of this. I said, Buckle, I really don't do new. And he says, well, you're doing it today. Go pick up Pete and his family for Christmas dinner. So I drove this thing. And as I stepped into that vehicle, it was just like brand new. Just an awesome smell. You know what I'm talking about? Now, most of the vehicles I've bought from a dealership, you open up the vehicle and it smells brand new. Not because it's brand new, because it has that brand new car air freshener. You know what I'm talking about? But brand new. You get new clothing, it has that smell. It's brand new. You walk into a new house, it's brand new. It has that feel to it. There's nothing like brand new. It's a brand new year for us, and that's an exciting thing. It's a new year, new opportunities, a gift from God for us to live this year, and it's an exciting thing. It is brand new. And think about this for a second. The Christian life is always brand new. You say, preacher, what do you mean about that? What I mean by that is this. There's always new discoveries in the Word of God. There's new victories over the world, the flesh, and the devil all the time. It's always brand new. I was thinking about that as I took a course from Terry Coomer. He has this counseling course that he gives. It was a grueling course. And God was working in my life as he was really speaking on the topic of spiritual renewal. I was struggling with some things in my life like we all do. And the Word of God provides hope for us. Sometimes we think of our struggles and we say, what's the use? We're tempted to give up, or even worse, live a Christian life on autopilot. And as I sat there in that course, God helped me from the Word of God, and new truths came to my mind that gave me fresh new victories. And as I was driving home, the words of a song, a melody came to my mind. The cords of sin took hold of me. My addictions brought misery. I had no hope, felt no way out, and I was sinking without a doubt. But then I heard the precious word. The inner man in me was stirred. I obeyed the Spirit's voice, and now free in Jesus, I rejoice. Free I am through the Lamb. Now unshackled in grace I stand. Sin no longer has power over me. Oh, thanks to Jesus, I am free. There's nothing like new victories. And they're available all the time. We focus on our imperfections. We struggle this time of the year. We didn't keep our resolutions, and we want to add more resolutions on top of that. It's not about New Year's resolutions. It's about a New Year revolution. Back to the Word of God. Back to the God who can help us, who can give us everything that we need. He says in verse 17 of our text, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Christian life is always brand new. Can I share a few things with you that are brand new? You know, because of Jesus, we have a new family. You know, folks, here's the thing. I'm not a minister that's here doing a performance in a religious sense. Oh, no, no. This is the gathering of God's family. We're not just religious people fulfilling a religious duty or a moral obligation. No, this is my family. This is God's family. We're part of the family of God, and I rejoice in that. I rejoice in new victories in this church and people connecting with one another. Thanks to Jesus, we have a new family. He says it here in the text, if any man be in Christ. You know, we're born into that family. Jesus tried explaining that to a religious man named Nicodemus. He wanted to have eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, he says, hey, you must be born again. How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus told that religious man, who was an educated man, he says it's not about having another physical birth. He says, no, you've had a physical birth. It's about a spiritual birth. It's about a spiritual transaction that needs to take place. And he explained it to this man. Now let's go to John, the Gospel of John, and I want to show us this. And the Lord wants to highlight these things. He said to that man, he says, ye must be born again. He says in John chapter 1, verse 11, if you'll turn there, John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. Is everybody going to? No, but I'm so thankful the scripture says many. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What are we going to do? Believe on his name, what he did for us. It's that simple. And look at what it goes on to say. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you're born again, you're born of God. And the moment you became born again, you became a part of God's family. And I'm thankful for that. Go to John chapter 5, and I'll show you this quickly. John chapter 5, oh, thanks to Jesus Christ, we have a new family. John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says this, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And the way that it's explained in the original language is like a child coming forth from the birth canal of the mom into a bright new world. And that's what happened to us at salvation. Death, and we're brought forth into life. A new family. And it's a powerful thing. And it's only something that God himself could do, and God did it. 1 John chapter 3, I'll turn there, 1 John chapter 3, that's why this verse is so important as we consider our family. And oh, how God has to work in us from time to time. Look at the continuation of this thought, this teaching, this doctrine. 1 John 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Folks, I say this affectionately. You're my family. I'm not ashamed of anybody here. Why? Because we're family. Oh, do we need to grow? Without question. Do we need to mature in areas? No doubt about it. But because of Jesus Christ, we're family. We're a part of a new family. And because we're part of God's family, we've been redeemed. That means he bought us back. He bought us out of slavery and he brought us forth into freedom. Revelation 5 verse 9, it says this, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. That's why I believe a church should have many cultures. Because salvation is not about just Canadians, and heaven's not just filled with Canadians, but every culture, every kindred, tribe, blood, and nations, and that's what the local church should reflect. All kinds of people, different walks, different backgrounds, new family, we've been redeemed, and I'm thankful for that. And the redeemed of the Lord should say so. It's such a powerful thing that God would give us a new family. But there's more, just like the infomercial would suggest. Okay, you've got the two pants for sale, and there's more. Mountaine perked up. What else is there? There's a knife. There's an apron. There's a cutting board. There's a cookbook. You see, when we have Jesus Christ, it's an endless supply of gifts given unto us. New creatures in Christ. Brand new. New family. What else is there for us? There's new freshness to our life. Think about it for a second. Verse 17 of our text, once again, it tells us so clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word new means freshness of age. It means to be regenerated. It means that we became a living, breathing organism. You said, preacher, I've always been alive. Oh, no, no, no. You were alive physically, but you were dead to God spiritually. But now you're alive spiritually. It's like Adam when he had the breath of life and he became a living soul. You know, the day that you got saved, you became alive unto God. You were regenerated. In other words, you were formed again. And I'm thankful for this. Someone said it this way, we are restored to a better, higher, or a more worthy state. That's what he did for us. That's what it means to be new. Listen, you say, man, I feel old. I'm going to feel old after tomorrow night because I'm going to hockey or whatever they're having. But I'm going to tell you something. In Christ, we're brand new. We're brand new. Newness, freshness of life. The Christian life is not stale or boring. We are in Christ. That means we are changing radically for the better all the time. We may be aging on the outside, but we're maturing on the inside, and I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that. The Christian life is always brand new. New family, new freshness. And the next word here speaks of this, a new formation. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature means an original creation. Aren't you glad that God just didn't take us and say, I'll use what's there and just add a couple of parts to it? No, no, no. It's fabricated by God once he purchased us. Brand new. It's like when God created the world, he used that term, a Latin term, ex nihilo, which means from nothing. He made us brand new, a new creature in Christ. We always focus on, I've got all these hang-ups and all these hiccups, but the inner man is brand new. We don't have to live after the old man. Because on the inside, we are brand new. We are a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ that is continually being formed by the Lord. We were once the devil's children, but the Lord purchased me. Let me illustrate this a little bit. I need some helpers here, young guys. Who wants to come and help? Hey, my buddy, Dakota, you want to come help me? Come on up. You can be a star today, okay? Hannah, you want to help? Or sorry, Lydia, get the kids' names wrong. Perfect to do, Dad. Okay, you guys come over here, okay? Lydia, you come up here. You're not going to get in trouble. You come over here. I want you to come over on this side here. And I need some helpers on that side. Who wants to help out? You want to help out today? Sure, you can come on. I'm not going to embarrass you. I said, yeah, you are. I know how preachers work. Okay, let's get a couple people up here. Johnny, you're leaving Mountaineer's seat? Wow, right on. Okay. You come over here. All right. Let's have a few other people. Jacob, why don't you come over here? You want to come? Scared to death? Anybody else want to come? Jude, you want to come? Yeah, come on up here. Live illustrations, that's how it can work, eh? You come on up, Jude. We'll come on up here. Now, we need somebody rough and gruff and mean. Oh, Mountaineer, we got you all the time. Come on up here. If you don't mind, sir, come on up here. Okay, so we're going to have Mountaineer come to this side here. Good-looking kids, rough and gruff guy. I want to illustrate something. It's powerful, okay? Bear with me a little bit here. Okay, live unscripted just at Lakeside all the time. Okay, you can come here. Nathan, you could play a good guy. Step up for you. Amen, sinner. All right. So here's the deal. All right. So here's where it's at. James, you pop up here. You can play the bad guy. James can play the devil for a second. Okay. Preacher's kids always act like it anyway. It's a written rule. So here's the devil and his children. And this guy's enslaved. And folks, we don't realize it, the severity of it. No hope, no peace, no joy. Living lives in our city, making money. Everything seemingly going good. But they don't realize they're dead. Jesus comes along, he dies, and he redeems. That means he purchases. That means he buys them back, he pays the price. Brings Matt over into his family. Now, what happened in that moment here? He's redeemed. He's bought back. He's born again. He's placed into God's family. He's given a new nature. He's given new hope. But he looks the same on the outside. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, because Christ is being formed in Matt day by day and moment by moment. Think about that for just a second. You know, salvation is near and dear to us. Listen, we are enslaved. There's no hope for us. We're born already going to hell. No way out of it. No chance of escape until Jesus paid the ultimate price. And Matt trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And he says, listen, I purchased you and I birthed you and I brought you forth into my family. Powerful, powerful truth. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. It's all new. New family. New freshness. New formation. That means that we are a new people with a new nature, new desires, new goals, a new purpose for us. But here's where we get caught up, and let me help here. We are saved, yes. A new family, yes. But we come with baggage, and what do we try to do is we try to fulfill the goals of the old man in our new bodies. And it just doesn't work. It leads to frustration. But God wants to add something to our life, and this is where I want to focus for a few brief moments. He wants to add new fulfillment to our life. And when I speak of fulfillment, I'm talking about things being achieved and things being realized in our life and all the joy that comes from those things. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. We are spiritual people. Oftentimes, who are controlled by our flesh, we try to live for God in our flesh, and we're miserable doing it. We try to achieve past goals in our new life in Christ, and we become miserable because of those things. So how do we experience new fulfillment in our life, joy in our life? Listen, there's been many times as a Christian I've been absolutely miserable, and heaven is my home, and Jesus is my Savior. And I have a new family, but miserable. You know why? Because oftentimes life can be lived in the flesh. So he says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And notice this here. Verse 17, here's something interesting. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What takes place after the word creature? What do you find there? What punctuation mark? And this is where really the truth begins for us. You find a colon. Now, let me become English teacher here for just a second. I remember going to Bible school and having to take bonehead English. Why? Because I was a bonehead, okay? I took Shakespeare in high school. And I did well in Shakespeare, so the teacher passed me with good marks in English, but grammar was a poor thing. So I remember sitting there taking, basically it was grade 3 English in Bible college, and gerunds and dangling modifiers and diagramming sentences, and oh wow, it felt like Greek, and I was born in Canada, and it's like, what in the world is this? Why would I want to learn this? For moments like this, okay? So the colon is used to separate two independent clauses, and here's what it does. It explains for us the first clause. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Okay, we'll explain this further, God. What about this new creature? How can I realize that in this old, decaying body? And the colon helps explain it all here. It goes on to say this, behold, all things are become new. It says, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. How do we live a new life in Christ? Have you wondered that? Consistently. I'm talking to saved people. People that love the Lord. I know what it's like to make a buck and make a living, and it's harder and harder in this province because of the economic downturn, and I get that. And there's a lot of things that can zap our joy if we let it. But how do we live this new life in Christ? And we see it here firstly here, just to kind of bring this thought in transition for us here. We do it by relinquishing the past. Look at what it says here in verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Notice this. Old things are passed away. The word old refers to the former things of the old man. It says they're passed away. Literally, they go past us. We're new in Christ. And as we grow in Christ, old things pass before us because we're moving forward towards the Lord. So those old things pass by us. They leave us. Now notice this here. Our nature has been changed. We were once children of Satan. Now we're children of God. We are slaves to sin with works of death that really highlighted our death sentence. Now we're free from sin. And now, instead of living for ourselves, we can live unto the Lord. Old things are passed away. But it doesn't stop there. The next word that comes from that is the word behold. And it's encouragement for us to recognize progress in our life. The word behold is significant because it says, as we relinquish the past, new things come into being. We are on a journey of Christ-likeness. And it's something that God says that was predetermined for us to conform to the image of his son. As we move in that direction, old things pass before us and things become brand new to us. We're opened up to the new realm of spirituality before us. And you know what we have to do? Is we've got to recognize progress in our life. Sometimes we fixate on that. Well, I've been saved a while. I still smoke and I still have the odd this and I still listen to that. That's not the thing to focus upon. The thing to focus upon is what is God doing in your life and your heart right now this day? And recognize it and thank the Lord for it. Victory doesn't happen by continually criticizing ourselves or other people around us. That produces defeat and discouragement. And it leads to depression and it leads to a dead church. We highlight and we fixate upon the things that are past. Man, there are things in my life that are gone and I thank God for it. And as we move towards the Lord, those things continually pass by. Our minds get renewed. We get new thinking, spiritual thinking, and old things are passed away. He says, behold, all things are become new. I like to tell people this, stop being in a rush to grow up and enjoy Christ building you right where you're at. We're always in a rush. And what we do is we produce spiritual robots. We make them conform to our standards and they're not ready for it yet. Am I for standards? 100% I am because God's holy. We know that. Be holy for I am holy. But I want you to grow at the pace that God, the Holy Spirit, is prompting you to grow at. Think about that. If you don't, you're taking on man's image and you're trying to impress man. No, take the time to grow right where you're at and grow with the Lord and allow the Lord to build you. And we're talking about that, that the Lord would help us in these things and build us in these truths that we can be fulfilled in our life. We can reach the potential that God has for us. Now, here's how we do this. Old things are passed away. The past goes by us. All things are become, behold, all things are become new. We do that with the replacement principle. It says all things are become new. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's the replacement principle. You see, when I got right with the Lord, Amber and I got married, and we decided we wanted to get back into church, I had a lot of things wrong in my life. And I'm just going to be very real, open and honest with you here. I'm not boasting in sin, but this is where I've come from. I'm smoking, toking, drinking, living wrong. And Amber said, we need to get married. I said, no doubt about that. I've read the Bible. Now, here's what I did. I gave up the smoking. And now if you've dealt with that addiction, that's easy, right? You just quit smoking and you're totally normal. No, you become mentally insane for a while because you're used to it. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's the thought of, I'm kind of cool. I started that way as a teenager anyway. So I gave up that. Then I gave up Kenny Chesney, and I liked him. I really did. All the whole catalog of CDs because I was into writing music. And ever since, we need to do right. So I, Brother Carl, I took all of those and I put them in a black garbage bag, thousands of dollars of CDs, man, and gone. Then I gave up this. That was the thing that just calmed the nerves because that's just an intense dude working a job, climbing the corporate ladder. So I gave up that. Then I gave up the other thing. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't replace it with anything. You know what happened? Amber lived a miserable life for a while. Because you know what happens when you don't replace bad things with good things? There's a big vacuum. So I'm coming home from work and I'm just... Amber's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I kind of gave up a lot all at once. Makes sense to anybody? So what do? I wish to God that this 42-year-old could have talked to that 25-year-old and said, hey, man, why don't you get some good Christian CDs? Hey, buddy, why don't you get yourself some Big League Chew and whenever you have the craving to have a smoke, just stuff some gum in your mouth. I wish to God that this guy could go back and say, hey, you can't have beer, but have some ginger beer. Oh, but I didn't have that. And so let me just say this. I've been there, and that's why I'm here. See, we tell our young people, oh, that music's bad, but what do we replace it with? Nothing. And guess what happens? They go back and they're worse. Anybody ever see that? You ought to quit smoking. Okay. Listen, an addiction's an addiction. It's an addiction. We need to replace things. If there's no replacement principle, it just leads to greater confusion and progress. So replace the music with Christian music. The shows you used to watch, have some Christ-honoring entertainment. The friendships you used to have, I'm not saying people say this, you ought to give up all your old friends and become a hermit and be lonely and go nuts and come out every so often talking to yourself, because that's the kind of Christianity this church needs to promote. No, it doesn't, okay? We're changing the narrative week by week. We are normal people here who've got normal jobs, okay? We're trying to be normal, okay? Here's the thing. Replace it. That's the key. Replace it. And I thank the Lord for it now. Listen, young people, I liked all genres of music. The transformation after I've got saved was AC/DC. That's a heavy beat, for crying out loud. Guitar riffs. And I remember when the old lady says, well, you know, why don't you listen to this? Abide with me fast. That's an adjustment. Help me. I'm normal. I want to live for Jesus. But how many of you recognize there's a bit of a difference? Boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom. All the time. The woofers, the everything. You say, man, you don't look like the kind of guy I did back then. Longer hair. Boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, boom. Pete loves it. That's his favorite music. It's the music he hates the most. You know, that's why we have the music we have here. Because some of you are like, yeah, we need MC Home Daddy Love in Heaven here. And some of you are like, well, we need this kind of music. We need that. Well, yeah. Some of us just, go Jesus. Okay. And it comes down to preference, doesn't it? But I don't know people who are offended at the hymns. We can agree on that. And what you do in your home is between you and Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. I'm not the priest of your home, nor do I want to be, okay? Replace it. But, you know, when you're used to the flesh, it's kind of hard. If you've been raised on caviar and you switch to salmon eggs, kind of hard. It's a spiritual appetite we're trying to develop. It's the replacement principle in our everyday life. And then we need to do this. We need to remember the process because look at what it is. This is what keeps us from getting off track. It's called progressive sanctification. All things are become new. We're renewed daily. The Lord promised to predestinate us unto the image of his Son, but we must yield. We must be built up inwardly before we outwardly present Christ. Now think about this. We can't take shortcuts. We got to relinquish the past. That's what I used to do. So you used to have a hot rod car, dice in the mirror, and you're playing Jesse's girl. Well, you got to live for Jesus now. We've seen those awkward guys. They're 55 years old. They got the high school jacket on. They don't look cool. They've deceived themselves. And they got the grease and the balding head and the three hairs, and they put it on there. They're not cool. Now listen, neither are Christians who are still trying to be worldly thinking they're cool. Because it's a confliction on the inside. You've got the Holy Spirit saying, what are you doing? I just want to be hip. The Lord doesn't need you to be hip. The Lord wants us to be holy, okay? So here's the thing. We relinquish the past. We recognize progress in our life. We have the replacement principle. But we've got to remember the process. Spiritual growth is a process. So if you get off track, go back to it. And say, okay, am I letting the past rule and reign in my life? Am I doing that? Am I thanking the Lord for victory that I do have? Oh, none of us are what we ought to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Okay? And I have to take a moment to get real to help people where they're really at. Think about it. We're saved, but we all sin in this church. We all have difficulties. Think about it for a second. Carl, I love you, but there's times I've wanted to chop your legs down scoring all those goals. Thank God you're on my team. You know why? I can't do it anymore. Let's be real. Who's been frustrated by that? Come on. Thank you. This is our kids' club superintendent wanting to chop Carl. What's going on in church? You know why? I don't even know how old Carl is. I don't even want to say that number because it seems like 30-something probably. 42 is not early 30s. It's not. And what we can do is start despising people. That's not healthy. It's not healthy. We need to help one another and grow, recognize progress in our life. And lastly, and we're done, the Christian life is brand new. It really, truly is. It's always brand new. It's a series of new beginnings that happens all the time. Because of salvation, because of Jesus Christ, we got a new family. There's a new freshness to our lives. You say, my life is stagnant. Get reconnected to the Lord. We're being built up in Christ. It's a new formation on the inward. The inward man is being renewed every day, being after God. There's new fulfillment in our life. And it comes by letting go of the past. It comes by recognizing progress in our everyday life. It comes by remembering the replacement principle. If you give up something, replace it with something better. That's why we're choosing the high road. It's not just the good, it's what's the best. It's remembering the process that it takes a while for God to work in us. Some things take longer than others. Listen, I'm going to get right down to it. I know Christians in church that still have scratch and win tickets for crying out loud. Oh, they must not be saved. And you gossip. And as a pastor over the years, I've sat there and say, oh, okay, going back to the old Canadian weighing out your sins thing, eh? Well, there's a guy that smokes. So what's worse, the gossiper or the smoker or the scratcher of the lotto ticket? What's worse? Well, I don't do any of those things. Self-righteousness takes the cake every time, baby, right? Think about it. I don't do any of those things. I used to do them, but I don't, and I'm so proud of it. And God hears that prayer, right? No, he doesn't hear the prayer of the Pharisee. So what am I saying? We should let every sin go? No. It takes time. It takes time. You know, a lot of times with our addictions that we wrestle with them because of lie-based pain. I'll explain it to you this way. I left Whitehorse, Yukon, making good money, and I went to Manitoba making $11 an hour. Man, five-year contract, $100,000 a year for 5 years, then I'm going to own the store and retire at 40. A multimillionaire. That was the plan, man. And God says, I want you to go back to Bible college. So I went to the co-op grocery store in Manitoba. Now, the northern area, they pay better, in case you haven't noticed that. You ever leave Alberta and go over that way? Unless it's Ontario, you're going to take a cut. I didn't know how bad of a cut. So $11 an hour. And the guy's like, yeah, dude, you can come work with me. I'll be your manager. And I said, buddy, you've got bleach, Kraft dinner, dog food, and pasta sauce on this display. That doesn't make any sense. I thought it was cool. And I'm sitting there thinking, and you're my boss. I'm not working there. So I got a job working in a factory for $11 an hour. You know what I wanted to do every day if I could be real with you? I'm cutting metal. Was take a piece of metal and cut my neck. Because I'm making money. Like money. We're going out to eat to the cellar once a week. I'm taking care of the preacher. It's good money. Nice condo. We lived in a condo with a nice HVAC. I had a balcony off of the bedroom and man, it was awesome. They're building a clubhouse with a gym and pool tables and big screen TVs. Oh, you know where I was living? In a rundown apartment. 2 bedrooms, 3 kids, a wife, and a closet that I locked myself in to study grade 3 English so I could do what I'm doing now. But I didn't see this on the horizon. So I'm sitting there in the shop making $11 an hour, and as soon as the break would hit, I would leave that place and go and get a pop. I had to leave where I was working because, you know what, it was really hard. And this guy said, you know what, brother, I think God brought you here to break you. You know, I wanted to break him. He's just breaking you to make you an effective preacher one day. Thanks for the message, geekster. You know, think about it. He goes, why do you think God made it where you have all this experience in management and I'm younger than you and I'm your boss? And I said something fleshly to him. I said, you know, can I just be honest with you, geekster? Guys like me used to pick up your guys' chiclets all the time when we beat your teeth out of your head. And he goes, that's not very Christ-like. I said, I know. Man, here's the thing. I would go and I'd get a pop. Oh, I'd go to the store and I'd buy a pop. And I'd drink it. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm not there. And then somebody, I came in one day, one of the spiritual guys says, you ever ask yourself a question why you have to leave and buy a pop every break? I said, what kind of a weirdo are you? I'm a Christian. And I'm sitting there thinking, but I'm a preacher. And you know what he said? He says, why don't you just allow the Lord to heal you from your hurt here and yield to the Lord? And you know what I recognized? I would go to that store, Brother Jim, and I'd get open up that Coca-Cola and I'd take a drink and it'd be like instantly, oh, I'm not a loser. I wasn't a loser making $11 an hour. God had a plan. A lot of guys struggle with addictions. They're like, oh, all these problems in my life. And it's like, oh, I can't cope. Listen, you're saved now. You don't need that. You got Jesus. But let me just say this. When we're used to that thinking and we're used to dysfunction, introducing something new seems like a hard thing, doesn't it? I'm used to living this way. And when you introduce new things, it's a hard thing to introduce because you're used to depending upon you and depending on your way to cope with things. Listen, I speak from experience. There's areas in my life I'm still growing through. Lord, help me. This is what God wants to do in our everyday life. He wants to help us to be like him. Now, the last thing on this as we talk about living a fulfilled life of a new life in Christ, we have to mention it and we're done, and I appreciate your time, is we have to reconcile people. See, this is what God is doing in our hearts and our lives. And I see it more than ever. Lord, why did I have to go over here where I grew up poor? I grew up with a mom with no education. Mom didn't have a driver's license. Man, I'm telling you, that's some painful living. So what did I want to do? I wanted to make a name for myself, take care of my mom and six younger brothers, and you know, I did that. God allowed me to grow up poor and impoverished and with a single mom trying to make a living so I could relate to people like that. Then God moved me to Whitehorse, Yukon, where I had the premier coming all the time and I'm talking politics all the time. And I worked for the future Minister of Energy, Mines, and Resources. That me and Amber's wedding, there's all kinds of politicians and big multimillionaires that are, and I worked with that group very easily. Because you need that when you work in ministry. Then God moved me to Manitoba. A little house on the prairie, man. Living in a trailer. Amber begged me, don't move me there. It was cheap, man. And I hate paying rent. Sorry, Matt. I just do. Okay, buy a house if you can. Working at a job. Didn't know how to do it. Full-time job, full-time Bible college. And pastor in a little tiny church. All of that to bring me here. You know why you're going through all the things you're going through? Let's trace this and we're done. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How do I realize that? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So the only reason we can be spiritual is because of the new birth, right? Because Jesus provided a means for us to be connected to God the Father. But it goes on to say in verse 18, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So now that we're saved, we're reconciled to God, he allows us to grow and to go through things because this is what he wants. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Think about that. Jesus Christ didn't come to judge people. He came to pay for their sins. As the old song says, he looked beyond our fault and saw our need. And what do you think we got to do as Christians now? Preacher, I can't believe that guy smokes. I can, I've been there. I can't believe that guy tokes. I can, I've been there. I can't believe that guy drinks beer. I can, that's what sinners do. Does that make sense? The goal is not downplaying or attacking people. The goal is looking at that individual where they're at and trying to say, hey, my job is to reconcile them to Jesus Christ, right? That's the goal. And he goes on to say here in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for God. He tells us to reconcile people. And how is that possible? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's all of those things in our everyday life as we think about this, living a life that's fulfilled in Christ. Let go of the past. Recognize progress in our life, very simply. Replace things in our life. Remember what God's doing in your life currently. Reconcile people unto the Lord. Brand new, all the time, in Christ, because he's continually doing renovations in our hearts, in our minds, shaping us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. A brand new year, a brand new opportunity. Let's all stand, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your patience. Lots of truth, I know. But the desire is to give hope, to help you right where you're at. Now, let me just say this. You might be wrestling with some things that are pretty, some people might say hideous. You feel it to be that way. But there's hope because of Jesus Christ. Now, go to him with it, okay? Let him speak to you. Now, you might be involved in those things because of hurts. Respond to the truth and allow Jesus to set you free. That's the thing. Brand new life in Christ. Now, how about it for you today here, you who do not know Christ as your Savior? Why don't you trust him as your personal Savior? You've heard it, and you've heard it, and you heard it. Just receive it today. It's simple. You can't save yourself. Why don't you ask Jesus Christ to save your wretched, rotten soul? He'll do it. Dear Christian, are you living a miserable life, a miserable existence as a Christian? Then respond to the truth that you've heard this day. And church family, let's let this truth transform us in this new year to change our outlook and our perspective as we help people. As Sheila plays the piano, let me encourage you, respond to what the Lord has said. If you need to be saved this day. Listen, why don't you slip out of the pew where you're at and meet me here at the altar here. We'll have somebody take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. Why not get saved from your sins? Friend, I've prayed for you this day. Many have prayed for you. Why don't you get saved this day? And maybe you're struggling with stuff. Why don't you get help? Hey, I want to pray for you. Pray for me. Hey, I'm growing as a pastor. I'm growing in areas of my life. Do you need prayer? Is there someone, preacher, I'm struggling. Pray for me. Lift your hand up. I'll pray for you. It's okay. It's okay. You're not going to be made fun of in this church. We want to help you. That's the goal. And once you get help, help somebody else. That's how it works. A brand new year. What an opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. It's all brand new. She'll play through one more time. If you need to make a decision, go ahead and do it. Christian, if it's good with you, pray for those that are making decisions in this room right now. A series of new beginnings. New growth every day. Father, we thank you for your precious word, Lord, this day. Lord, thank you for everyone that has come out, Lord, and I pray that you bless them for it. Father, I pray that you bless every single decision that has been made. And Lord, I pray that you'd seal these decisions. I pray that you'd help all of us. Oh, God, help me. Lord, I feel like the biggest sinner in this room. And Lord, I need it. I need your grace. We all do. Thank you for being such a gracious and merciful God. Help us as we look to you, Lord, this year. And Lord, may you accomplish great and mighty things, Lord, because we simply recognize, Lord, that we are saved people that desperately need you. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We're dismissed.